Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, nahmaduhu wa nasalli ala rasulihi al-kareem. Amma abad. Alhamdulillah, tonight is the 14th of October in the year 2020. Alhamdulillah, I've begun the section now in which we're going to discuss reflections on death and the afterlife. So the Amir al-Mu'mineen, Umar bin Abdul Aziz, rahmatullah alayh, he once asked Hassan al-Basri to write to him to give him advice. So Hassan al-Basri, rahmatullah alayh, he wrote the following letter. O Amir al-Mu'mineen, rahmatullah alayh, the worldly life is a place of movement and transition. It is not a place of residence and stability. Adam, alayhi salatu wasalam, was sent to it as a punishment. So be weary of it. The happiest of its residents are those who ignore it. When examined by the intelligent and wise, he'll find that it humiliates whoever glorifies it and scatters whoever collects it. The resolute wise man is the one who lives in it like the one treating his wound. He endures the bitterness of the medicine for the wellness he seeks and the wretched consequence he fears. Subhanallah. This is recorded by Hafiz ibn al-Jawzi rahmatullah alayh in his Adab al-Hasan al-Basri wa Zuhuduhu wa Mawa'idhu. The Beacon of Basra, page 125-6 of the English translation. So these are the letters that the righteous wrote. Compare these to our letters. We forget to even put Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And every statement you notice is a bayan. Every sentence he's giving to the Amir al-Mu'mineen. But looking at it very briefly, what was the first sentence? He goes, the world is a place of movement. It is not a place of stability. So a person goes, what does that mean? One of the illusions of the world, physically, is that you think you're not moving. But even physically, scientifically, they've proved you are moving. Why is Allah doing that? Because he's teaching you this world is an illusion. You go to the scientists, they'll tell you the world is, the earth is traveling at a certain speed. And then it goes faster than a speeding bullet. And you're looking at you're thinking, there you go. But spiritually, it's the same. You get stuck in it. But this is not the place to get stuck in. You're moving. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu said, the first breath is the beginning of death. So he said, when a child breathes, he's dying. He was thinking of death upon birth, let alone when he was 60 and we'll change our lives. So this is the first thing he told the Amir al-Mu'mineen. The second thing he wrote, Adam alayhi salatu wasalam was sent to it as a punishment. Be weary of it. So this doesn't mean, a'udhu billah, that Adam committed a sin. He's protected, alayhi salatu wasalam. But this was the divine wisdom. But he was sent, and the Prophet himself said, this is prison. Ad-dunya sijnul mu'min. The world is the prison for the believer. In Sahih Muslim. So Adam was sent down to it, he says. Your father. He goes, remember that. Have you remembered this? We forgot. Then he said, the third atom bomb. The happiest of the people of the world are those who ignore it. Because haven't you seen that? Isn't that true? Those who attach themselves, they get ill. Those who detach themselves, they're less stressed. You notice that. Very interesting. Even if they're not Muslims. Even if they're not Muslims, you'll notice that. The fourth atom bomb. When examined by the intelligent and wise, meaning if you have intelligence, you'll understand this. You will find it humiliates whoever glorifies it and scatters whoever collects it. Meaning, whoever is foolish and starts to think this is it, you will notice you'll be humiliated. Isn't that 100% true? It's starts sobbing on his deathbed. Bit too late now, brother. Right? Think about that. One of the salafs, he actually laughed at a funeral. And they asked him, why are you laughing at this, you know, this time? And he said, I laugh because people in the past only left the world when they sorted their hereafter. Now people are leaving the world only when they leave the world, when they've sorted the world. Because this made me laugh. And this was in the time of the Salaf. What would he say now? Then he said, the resolute wise man is the one who lives in it like the one treating his wound. He endures the bitterness of the medicine. Why? Because he wants the cure. Meaning there's going to be a bit of sacrifice needed on your part. But treat that as the medicine. When a person takes the medicine, he doesn't like to take the medicine. But he's thinking of the bigger picture. He's thinking, look, yes, I could indulge. But I'm not. Because the medicine is hard to take. But this is what's going to give me shafa. Now think about that. Did Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullah alayh ask him to tell him about Zuhd? He just said, give me advice, O Hassan al-Basri. He wrote a letter. And all he talked about was dunya. Why? Because the love of the world is the root of all evil. That's all you need to talk about. If you can sort your world, everything's sorted. Consider the following pregnant words of our beloved messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whoever wishes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants him knowledge without study and guidance without instruction, then let him abstain from this lowly world. Subhanallah. Whoever wishes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants him knowledge without study, guidance without instruction, let him abstain from this lowly world. Recorded by Abu Nu'aym, Imam Ghazali in his Ihya in the chapter on poverty and abstinence, page 98 of the English translation. So think about that. If somebody was to say to you, would you like a PhD without studying? Which fruitcake would say no? What do you mean without studying? You don't need to go to uni. You'll get a PhD and you'll be qualified. It's not a fake PhD. Would you like to be guided without instruction? Pass your driving test, for instance, without going through lessons. Without theory, and you'll have a genuine license. The Prophet says you'll be given this. One condition, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you abstain from the world. Now who's teaching you? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what do you notice yet again? Those who are not connected, they speak wisdom. You notice that. Those who are more connected, they speak rubbish. In fact, they make you ill. You listen to them. Getting a headache again. Give me another headache. But those who are not attached to the world, when they speak, there's something about their speech. It's like medicine. You think, you know, this is soothing. This was he saying. Well, there you go. Similarly, our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, trifling are the misfortunes of this world for those who abstain from this world. Look at these amazing words of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Trifling are the misfortunes of this world for those who abstain from this world, i.e., for what literally has he got to lose? This is in Abu Nu'aym, Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi, in his Ihya in the chapter on poverty and abstinence, page 98 of the English translation. If you're not attached to the world, can you get white? Think about that. Let's say a meteorite comes, smashes. Who's going to get hurt the most? Right? Think about that. It's the one who's attached. He goes, oh my God. The one who's least attached, he just goes, well, you know, a bit of dust. I'll be back on my feet within no time. There you go, right? So he goes, isn't that a sign from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Meaning you can take huge calamities. Allah ta'ala gives you strength to take it. In fact, you laugh at it. He's ready for death. The one who's attached to dunya is not ready for death. You notice that? Oh, no, I still need a bit more time. What for, brother? What are you doing? Are you on this earth to, you know, make koti, right? What are you on this earth for? Astaghfirullah. No, I'll get to it. I'll get to what? It's not a hobby, brother. Right? These will take the biggest hits without any problem. COVID. Look how people choking now. Why? Because they've touched the dunya. Right? Can't go out, can't. What's up, brother? Don't worry, you know, and death is real, isn't it? MashaAllah. Right? SubhanAllah. Such people live the most stress-free lives. How much are they willing to pay for this, the unbelievers? Our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Az-zuhud fi dunya yurihu al-qalba wal-jasad." Zuhud of the world refreshes the heart and the body. True words, the Prophet's telling you through revelation. Az-zuhud fi dunya, look at the words he used, yurihu al-qalb. Yurih means, you know when you get that sparkling, crystal, cool, fresh drink or wind that refreshes you. That's the word he used. Zuhud fi dunya yurihul qalb. Because it revitalizes the heart and wal jasad, the body. Where is this recorded? Tabarani in his Awsat, number 6120. Behaqi in Shu'ab al-Iman, number 10536. Dailami in his Musnad al-Firdaus, number 3364. Al-Haythami in Majma al-Zawaid, 10-286, states Sahih. Think about that. People are looking for this. We've been given the answer. He goes, why am I stressed? I'm a millionaire. He can't get his head around it. He goes, look, I'm doing what that society is telling me to do, but I'm not happy. But for the cameras, he'll have that fake smile. He'll show it. But he's not happy. Where's the proof he's not happy? He's an alcoholic. Right? For instance, Brad Pitt. Alcoholic. Did you know that? Guy gets shocked. Hey, is he? No. Mashallah, he's happy. Why is he alcoholic? Isn't he got more money than, you know, that we got toilet paper? Is he one of the most handsome men of the world? He's got everything, but he's got nothing. He's an alcoholic. Why? Because he's gone down the wrong path. Who are the happy ones? The people who detach themselves. The Prophet told you, sallallahu, they'll have the coolest hearts and body. Conversely, flip the coin. What did the Prophet say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? The appetite for the world multiplies anxieties and sorrow. SubhanAllah. The appetite for the world multiplies anxieties and sorrow. This is in Qudai in his Musnad al-Shihab, number 278. The word used here is taqathur. Where is that word famously used? The Quran. Al-haqum al-taqathur. You are distracted by the piling up. Look at how, you know, that's that verse. No human could have said that. Look at the two words, al-haqum al-taqathur. Two words. English, you miss all the majesty. He just said two words. Distracted piling. That's the two words he's used. Distracted piling. But in English, it means you are distracted by the piling of what? It could be money. It could be property. It could be, you know, connections. It could be clothes, believe you or not. Could be gold. Allah Ta'ala goes, distraction, distraction. But then he gives you the answer. Hatta zurtumul maqabr. Until you visit your grave. Then distraction's over. Right? So the Prophet used the same word here, but he added a dimension. That Allah alayhi wasallam. He goes, the appetite for this world multiplies anxieties and sorrow. It means you're going to get ill. If you want more, you're actually injecting illness into you. The Prophet is telling you that. Because if you're ill, detach. Don't attach. And what is Shaitan whispering to you? No, 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 you're alright. You're safe. Right? You know that he's your enemy. He gets happy over little things that happen to you. For instance, when you trip, you know that he gets happy when you trip. How petty is that? He likes it. Right? When you get, you know, when you get in taklif. And what is one of his weapons? Take more of dunya. And he gets happy. He goes, look, he's doing it again. He's injected himself. And the guy gets more ill. SubhanAllah, how often are we the worst enemies to ourselves? Think about that. Who's actually harming now? You're killing yourself. You're supposed to be compassionate to yourself. Consider the words of Fudayl ibn Iyad. Now this is a very deep statement. Fudayl ibn Iyad, Imam Shafi's teacher, he said, rahmatullah alayh, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed all evil in one house and he's made love of the world the key. He has placed all good in one house and he has made zuhud from the world its key. Look at how beautiful these statements are. recorded by Hafiz Qushayri in his Risala, page 96, Imam Ghazali in his Ihya in the chapter on poverty and abstinence, page 149 of the English translation. Imagine I said to you, behind these doors is all evil. Would you go near it? You won't even ask, open it, you're thinking, look. Somebody says to you, well, I don't think you're taking heed. Because all evil is in that dwelling, and you're walking within the dwelling. Why? Because love of the world is the key. The key is being used. All evil now, you attach to every evil under the sun. Another house is the key to all good. What's the key to all good? Zuhud. You've opened up all good for yourself. Now think about this. These were the most sincerest people who were giving you this advice. They weren't after your money. They weren't after your name and fame. They weren't after scratch my back, you scratch, I'll scratch your back. These were the God-fearing people. Right? And they're giving you advice. They're telling you, think. Imam Ghazali, he said, Rahmatullah Ali, in his Ihya, in the chapter on poverty and abstinence, page 146 of the English translation, the people of deep understanding, they hold. When Iman is attached only to the exterior of the heart, then it loves the world and the hereafter, striving for both. But if Iman is hidden in the deepest recesses of the heart, gladdens it, you will notice. He will start to loathe the world. Indeed, it will neither look at the world nor strive for it. Look at these very deep statements of Hujjat al-Islam, Imam Ghazali. He strived for this. He's given it to you free. So think about that. If somebody says to you, I want the best of both, he's actually told you his state. Iman's on the surface of his heart. He's got Iman, but it's not really entered because he's after dunya. But when Iman actually starts penetrating the heart, goes a little bit further, you'll notice something. You'll start to loathe the world the deeper it goes. So if it goes in superficially, you'll have a slight dislike for the world. It goes further into the heart, you'll have more dislike. If it penetrates the heart, he goes, you can't stand it. You loathe it. Now look how interesting. He's described the whole range of the Muslims. You have to be one or the other. So which one is it? So your heart, because Ya Allah, make me amongst those. But what's the key again? The key is Zuhud. If you want to loathe, there's the sign. What's your connection to the world? Person, why are you asking me that question for? You ask that question because you want to know how healthy your Iman is. Abu Sulaiman al-Darani, rahmatullah alayhi, said, have you not noticed? He who wrestles the world, then is wrestled by it. Have you noticed that? Subhanallah. Because haven't you noticed that he who wrestles the world is then wrestled by it? Hafiz Abu Abd al-Rahman Sulami in his Tabaqat al-Sufiyya, page 77. What does that mean? It means don't take it on. By not taking it on, you subdued it. You take it on, then you're wrestling with it. And you'll notice it's very strong. So what does the wise person do? I'm not going to wrestle with you. Why should I waste my time? And what do the shuyukh say? If you treat the world like your shadow, it will follow you like a dog. But if you run after your shadow, you're a madman. Imagine any. You say Usain Bolt doing his training. 9.49, what was it, the world record. And imagine you ask him, how did you get so fast? He's I'm running after my shadow. You think he's mad? But at least he's got a world record. But still this madness, you'll never catch your shadow. It's like, it's an impossible task. That is the world. You take it on, it will destroy you. But if you turn your back to it, the shadow follows you like a dog. You notice that? And what do you notice? Did the world follow the Holy Prophet like a dog? Yes. Did the world follow the Khilafah Rashidin like a dog? Yes. Sahaba? Yes. Awliya Akram? Yes. What about us? Think about that. You know, thinking, where did we go wrong? Well, there you go. It goes back to the same point. Don't wrestle with it. As our beloved Messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whoever takes from the world over and above what suffices him has then foolishly taken his death whilst he does not even know. Subhanallah. This is in Daylami in his Musnad, number 363, Ibn Asakir in his Tarikh, Dimishq 55-191. Think about that. If somebody gives you poison, are you going to take it? No. If somebody goes, no, but it's not that poisonous. And he goes, take it. He goes, what are you talking about? It's still poison. It's not that poisonous. He said, poison is poison. I don't want to take it. The Prophet said, the world becomes poisonous when you take from it above your needs. Now it becomes toxic. And then what happens? You foolishly take in death. You don't even know. And this is why, you know, I keep mentioning this again and again. Look at your needs. What do you need to live your life? After one penny above that is poisonous. Look how hard that is on the nuts. Because people say, no, it doesn't apply to me. Why doesn't it apply to you? What makes you special? Right? No, because you got too much money. You're trying to justify it. Right? So what happens? That one penny over is a slight poison. If it's a pound, you've taken more poison. The Prophet said, you're killing yourself. What are you doing? He goes, you're killing yourself. The golden mean, how are we supposed to live? The golden mean was given to Abu Dharr. In Kanzul Umal number 8539, our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Abu Dharr radiyallahu, O Abu Dharr radiyallahu, that portion of the world which benefits your hereafter is not harmful. But that portion of the world is harmful, which benefits only your life in this world. There you go. There's the answer. So I'm taking from the world. Ask yourself one question. Is that going to benefit my akhirah? If it is, take it. But if it benefits only your world, the Prophet ﷺ said, that's harming you. But Abu Dharr. Look how beautiful. Now, this is actually the prophetic means. Because some people, money is the akhirah. Sayyidina Uthman ibn Affan, wasn't his wealth part of his greatness? Because he was all about the akhirah. So for him, if he was a trillionaire, it's better for him. So it's not an amount. The amount doesn't really concern. The concern is you. What you're taking, is it benefiting your akhirah? If it is, fantastic, keep it up. If it's only benefiting your world, you're getting ill. The Prophet is telling you this is illness. In fact, it's madness. One of the saints, rahmatullah alayh, he saw the world and it was a virgin. So he talked to the world and he says, are you a virgin? So the world goes, yes. But then the saint said, don't you marry everybody? Because there's a report mentioning that the world marries everybody. And when they die, spits them out. And the world said, yes, I do marry everybody. Because how do you remain a virgin then? So the world said, because the one who married me, they're not men. They're impotent. And the Holy Ayah went, okay, I understand. So the world is insulted. He goes, I've married you. But imagine you find out your husband's impotent. So the world says, you're a worthless, good for nothing. I'm still a virgin. You can't even take me out of the virgin category. But that's you marrying the world. Well done. Isn't it? Meaning you don't marry it, then you're a man. That's what the world was saying. Subhanallah. As the Honorable Imam Ghazali so beautifully put in his Ihya, in the chapter on Dhikr al-Mawt, the Remembrance of Death, page 125 of the New English Translation. Whoever searches for provisions to bring him to his destination will surely be delighted at being separated from the remainder of them when he attains his goal. For he never sought the provisions for their own sake, it was just a means to an end. So you have to listen to what he's saying. It made me laugh this, because the penny dropped and I read it a few times. What was he saying? He said, you take rizq, why do you go shopping? I need food and drink. Correct. Then he says, you take provisions to complete your journey. True or false? True. He will be delighted at being separated from the remainder of his provisions when he reaches his destination. Why? He never sought the provisions for their own sake. It was a means to an end. Then he said, this is the circumstance of the man who has taken from this world only what he needs, and who has longed for an end to these needs that he might dispense with, the quest for provisions. Now that what he has longed for has come about, he no longer stands in any need of them. Look how beautifully he's broken it down. You only need provisions to complete your journey. If you take more than that, you're actually being foolish now. What was the example I gave with Imam Abu Hanifa? Imam Abu Hanifa, rahmatullah alayh, he said that the one who's got knowledge, he goes to the desert with a map. And he takes a little bit of water, just enough water and just enough food, and he gets through. The one who hasn't got knowledge, he takes tons of food, tons of water. And then what happens? He hasn't got a map. So what happens? He dies in the desert. Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayh was given the other analogy here. He goes, this is how much provisions you take from the world. You are not acquiring the provisions. They're just a means to an end. This is not your purpose on the earth. It's a means to an end. If it becomes your purpose, you've gone ill. Have you understood? Because you've become ill again. Those the wise have no connection to this world, but wisely take from it what they need. And they happily, class, here, bye-bye to the world. Hence, they are never attached to this lowly world. Thus, inevitably, when they leave, they naturally feel no remorse over its loss. That's another sign of the pious. What are you going to be grieving over? I didn't take anything anyway. He's happy to go. But if you've left couple of mil, land in Barbados and God knows where else, right? Koti, left, right and center, you're going to be crying. So what's happened? Who's caused the harm? You. I want to go. Even the Kofar, one of the presenters for morning TV, breakfast TV, he goes, I want to be the poorest man in the graveyard. Meaning I don't want anything to be left. No point going into graveyard, a millionaire. What's that going to do? And he's asked, I think he's a Christian, but he's on the right mindset. But have we got that mindset? Astaghfirullah. Hafiz ibn Rajab, rahmatullah alayhi, he relates in his Al-Mahajja fi Sayyid al-Dulja, The Journey to Allah, Subhanahu wa ta'ala, page 79 of the English translation. Sheikh Shibli, he said, rahmatullah alayhi, whoever holds fast to this world will then be burned by its blaze until he becomes ashes blown about by the wind. Whoever holds fast to the hereafter will then be burned by its light until he becomes pure gold of the highest quality and is benefited from. And whoever holds fast to Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will be burned by the light of Tawheed and will become a jewel that is beyond value. Next level speech. So let's bring it down to our level. Who's Sheikh Shibli? So Sheikh Shibli was one of the famous saints. He was that pure, he would make strange statements. He once said, he goes, oh my Lord, show all my sins. Let the world see my sins. Allah Ta'ala inspired him. He goes, you want me to show your sins so people leave you, so you can come to me. I know your intention. So Shibli rahmatullah alayhi said, oh Lord, if you don't fulfill my request, I'm going to talk about your mercy and they'll stop doing deeds. This is the conversation they're having with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he's a pure man. He said, the three that hold. He goes, the one who grabs onto the world, this is what's going to happen to him. He will be burned by its blaze until he becomes ashes. So what happens when you cling to the world? Because you're going to get burnt. Children shouldn't play with fire. They'll get burnt. And what happens when you get burnt? Ashes. The second category, they grab the akhirat. Because they also get burnt. But they are burned by light, which makes them pure gold of the highest quality. Why? Because fire can also purify. The fire of the akhirat purifies you. You become pure gold. And then he says, you become benefited. You benefit others. But this is the highest category. They're not even bothered about paradise or hell. Think about that. All they're thinking about is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because they will be burned by the light of Tawheed. And it will become a jewel that is priceless. So what Sheikh Shibli was saying, which one are you? The one with the world, the one with the akhirat, at least be the one for the akhirat. And hopefully, you know, if you can get high enough, become the jewel. And one last report. Hafiz ibn al-Jawzi, rahmatullah alayhi, in his Adab al-Hasan al-Basri wa Zuhdu wa Mawa'idhu, the Beacon of Basra, page 144 of the English translation, Hasan al-Basri, rahmatullah alayhi, said, O son of Adam, alayhi salatu wa salam, you have words and you have deeds. Your deeds are worthier than your words. O son of Adam, alayhi salatu wa salam, you have secrecy and publicity. Your secrecy is worthier than your publicity. O son of Adam, alayhi salatu wa salam, you have this immediate life and an afterlife. Thus your afterlife is worthier than your immediate life. Subhanallah. You can tell they're coming down for this. They're coming, look, these people don't understand. We have to go down to playground level. So he starts off with something. I think, well, why is he mentioning that? Because words and deeds, what's more important? Deeds. And he goes, so talk less, do more deeds. Then he says, there's a private part to you and there's a public part to you. Your private is more worthy than your public. And he goes, that's a bit more tricky. And then he says, you have an immediate life and you have an afterlife. Your afterlife is worthier than your immediate life. Meaning, be people of action, be people of sincerity, and be people of the next life. That's what he was saying. But unfortunately, what's happened? We've completely tilted it. Somebody goes, I talk a good game. My public life is better than my secret life. And I'm running after the immediate. So what's happened to you? Completely lost. Gamra. On another occasion, just to add this, he said, the sign of a noble person is that he is swift in performing deeds. Whilst the sign of a loser is delaying and postponing. Subhanallah. Recorded by Hafiz ibn al-Jawzi in his Adab al-Hasan al-Basri wa Zuhduhu wa Mawa'idhu. The Beacon of Basra, page 33 of the English translation. So who's a noble person according to Hasan al-Basri? He is quick in doing good deeds. You notice that. Somebody goes, who's noble in Dana? Apply it. Who's the one who's always is on it? He's on it. Right? He's noble. Or she's noble. Who's the fruitcake? The one who delays. Yes, brother, you're right. 100% you spoke the truth. But, that disastrous boat. But what, brother? Then violin comes out. Well, what it is? And then you go, brother, you've done a nice little bayan. But according to, don't take it personally, according to Hasan al-Basri, you're a loser. Because you're delaying. And think about it. When you enter the grave, what is the only thing that enters with you? Does your family enter? Deeds. Does your wealth enter? The Prophet said they leave you. Your deeds enter. And when your deeds are protecting you in the grave, you will then testify, Sahih Hadith in Bazaar, I thought you was the least significant. So the Prophet was telling something very interesting about most of the children of Adam. They don't take the word seriously. You will testify, imagine, you will say to your deeds in the grave, I thought my family was more important. My 3 sons, 4 sons, 5 sons, 10 sons, 100 sons, 50 daughters, grandsons, I thought they were more important. I thought money was more important, connections. But now I testify, you were the most important. The Prophet told you that out of his compassion, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, meaning, when you put your energy into deeds, you have truly understood why you're on this dirt ball. I think about that. You've truly understood the purpose of life when you put your energy into your deeds. And the beautiful thing about our glorious deen is so vast. Allah has given you a multitude of deeds you can put your energy into. Your whole life you could be discovering things. Such as how rich our deen is. And yet some people don't even say the Shahada once in their life. Imagine. SubhanAllah. So all I mentioned today was now talking about this worldly life. And notice, it's hard upon the nafs. Why? Because if you're ill, you don't like to admit you're ill. But if you're not ill, these words just bring a smile to your lips. Right? But don't forget, these are the words of revelation or from the glory itself. Are there any questions? سبحان ربي الحمد سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والاصل ان الانسان لفي خسر الذين امنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر صدق الله